Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles now with me to our scripture reading this morning, which is Daniel 6, verses 27 and 28. Daniel 6, 27 and 28. And I'll give you time to find that, but this is sort of the end of what Darius is saying about God. Darius is honoring God after the incident that their children's story was about, Daniel in the lion's den. And starting in verse 27, this is Darius talking about God. He says, "He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Happy Sabbath, brothers, sisters, and happy Sabbath to you that are watching over the internet. I'm suspecting today we have more than the watching online than what you usually have because of some people that are sick with flu or other things. Today, we have communion, and I'm going to preach a sermon that's kind of unusual for communion. We usually talk about some event on the life of Jesus and something like that. But if you think what communion is all about, it's about connection with God. I want to study another passage of scripture that leads us to that direction. Daniel 6 is what we're going to study today. It's a very popular chapter in children's stories. I just told a children's story, and that was my story. And it's a chapter that's so well known to Christians and non-Christians alike that we are on the danger of not seeing what the chapter is actually talking about. And it's possible that the Lord today wants to tell us, to teach us something different from that very well-known chapter. So before we open scripture and read it, let's close our eyes and pray once more for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much because you want to be in community, in communion with us. Thank you so much because you gave us another day so we could be here and hear more about you. We want, dear Lord, now that your Holy Spirit guide us as we open scriptures, as we read it, as we analyze it. May your Spirit guide us to get the spiritual truths you want us to learn. May your Holy Spirit guide us and teach us what you want us to learn. Bless us, giving us open minds and open hearts. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's start by reading Daniel 6, verses 1 to 17. So, as we read the story first, then I can tell and highlight the details.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governor and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, The counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as it was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives of Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
Alrighty, so we will not read the rest of the story because you already know what happens. I told on the kid's story. What's the interesting part is on the beginning, what we just read. So I ask you to buckle up because I'm going to go a little fast since we have a communion service to do as well. But before we even delve in what we need to learn today, I want to give you an overview what where Daniel was. Daniel, when he was about 18, 20 years old, he was brought to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he's on his 80s. And he was forced to work in Babylon for all this time. But he had one hope, that 70 years would pass. Because that's what Jeremiah the prophet had promised. And now, in the beginning of that new empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, that time was already up. Was like he saw the clock ticking. And that incident that we see today on Daniel 6 happens with that background. That's what's in the back of his mind. And the chapter starts with the king actually putting a lot of importance in Daniel. He wanted to promote him to be the first public servant on the whole kingdom, like his prime minister. However, as we saw, that raised a political debate. Like, people didn't want that route, and they try hard to make that not to happen. And here, that's the first point I want to highlight. Why that happened? When men do not recognize their errors, when they don't suppress their sinful tendencies, when we don't do that, inadvertently, we become used in the hands of the enemy, whether we are aware of it or not. Just to give an example, do you think Pilate and Herod, they went to a dark room on the back, like, and kind of plot, okay, let's all agree, let's kill Jesus, the Son of God, and like, no. They didn't have like, that was not a planned thing, that was not their intention. They just became overcome by their personal tendencies, ambitions, and conveniences. And they were led for that. In the same way, the co-workers of Daniel, they were driven by their own motivations. Hatred, envy, jealousy against Daniel. And because of this, they were used, they served the interests of a hidden enemy, Satan. That was the real fool on that story. And knowing that Daniel had a good relationship with the king, they knew that they needed something solid. So they went and got his like a rap sheet that was in existence. The police had nothing against him. They went and got his credit report. He didn't even have a late payment. He was like that good. And like they realized that his spiritual life was the only way to kind of create some snare. And then they proposed that law that became reality. So that is what started that whole mess on chapter 6. Let me ask a question. Do you think the real meat of chapter 6 is how Daniel's attitude was when he was when his spiritual practices were in danger? Like, do you think that's the reason why the chapter is talking about our prayer life, about that? What do you think? Okay, since you guys feel overly participative today, I'm gonna answer myself. Most people think that's what the chapter is all about. But I want you to dig a little deeper. Not that prayer is not important. It is. Prayer is one of the most important things we have in our arsenal, in our fight against the enemy. And so prayer is important. However, that's not the point. Before I move on, I just want to read something that's, you know, on your bulletin. I'm looking for mine here, Tony, but I think I misplaced it. Can I have it? Have yours for a second. It's here on the back, for reflection. I won't read the whole thing, just the two first phrases. Satan well knows that all who he can lead to neglect prayer and search and the search of scripture will be overcome by his attacks. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. Like, Satan does not want you to read the scripture. I said this before a few times, but like, if you stop reading your scripture, if you stop to have a meaningful prayer life, it will not be too long before you leave this church and leave faith for good. Because those are the ways for us to connect with God. So prayer life is important, the devotional life is important. But there is something more on this chapter to that. Satan cannot bear us appealing to God because he trembles. He knows he will be defeated if we pray to God. There are several texts on the scripture, and the one that comes to mind right now is James 4 verse 7 that says like, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Like, so when we surrender to God and when we enter on that devotional life of prayer and thanksgiving and reading the Bible, communicate with God, we resist the devil and he flees from us. However, there is more than what meets the eye. The book here is not talking about our automatic prayers. Those prayers that we say, for example, for lunchtime, most of the time, even without thinking. I don't know if that happened with you. It happened with me a couple of times. Shame on me, but a couple of times I realized that I was like praying for lunch, but all of a sudden I was praying for a good night of sleep. Because it was so automatic that like I was not even thinking. That was a wake-up call to me, because those prayers, although they are important, we are giving glory and honor and thanking God for something that he granted, like the food or the day or whatnot. But they don't mean much because they come out of like it's automation. It's something automatic. And it's almost robotic. And we need meaningful moments with God. And Satan knows that we need those moments. And he tries to keep us so busy that we forget about that. We don't realize that we serve a God that puts order in all the universe. And we can enter into his presence without having a special invitation, without anything, just by prayer. And what is special about it is that he is the one that orders all the universe, but he wants to order your life as well. Only if you have time to approach him and to seek him humbly. So, what is then the meat of that chapter? What that chapter is really talking about? I want you to take your Bibles and notice something with me. We are in chapter 6, right? If you read the last line of chapter 8, we read, like, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom being about 62 years old. And verse 1 of chapter 6 is almost a continuation of that verse. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to over the whole kingdom. So like that was the very beginning of Darius' kingdom. So now let's go to chapter 7. What says, in which year was that, chapter 7? In the first year of King Belshazzar. So chapter 8, which year was chapter 8? Third year of the King Belshazzar, the last year of Babylon. Now let's go to chapter 9. When was that? In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans, over Babylon. So, chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8, they are on the Babylonian period. Chapter 6 and chapter 9, they happened on the same time, on the first year of Darius. And that's an important thing, because the Bible is saying that those two things, they happen at the same time. The prayer in Daniel 9, we have a very beautiful prayer. One of my top three beautiful prayers on scripture. The number one for me is John 17. Number two is that. And number three is the prayer of Solomon on the inauguration of the temple. So, and what makes that prayer so special? Like Daniel was praying over God's promises. And without taking in consideration the whole book, we lose sight that chapter 6 and chapter 9, they occur on the same year. That prayer occurs on the first year of the king, Darius. And the events of chapter 6 occur also in that first year, on the very beginning of his first year, when he was organizing his government. So, what that tells you? What Satan was trying to avoid by throwing Daniel in the lion's den? What do you think? Satan was trying to avoid that prayer of chapter 9 to ever be pronounced. Daniel had set on his heart to pray earnestly to God. And Satan didn't want that prayer to be said. Picture with me. Daniel was bothered. And why he was bothered? Because he knew the 70 years were finishing. And he wanted to call God by his promises. And what was happening in chapter 9? If you read verse 2 with me, it says that in the first year of the reign, of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face towards the Lord God, to make requests by prayer, by supplication, with fasting and sackcloth. Like, on the very beginning of the reign of Darius, he realized, man, the prophetic clock is ticking. It's almost time for us to get back home. But he was not seeing any movement. And he was seeing that the people seemed not to have learned his lesson. Like, people were living their lives. Sometimes we live our lives today on the verge of the second coming, as if there is no tomorrow. They would come to the church, they would do their thing, but Daniel saw no real conversion. And he was afraid that promise was being delayed because he was not seeing anything that would point to that liberation. Especially now, because a new king, a new kingdom had taken over. And if you learn anything about world history, during high school and grade school, it's that like when a new king comes, he doesn't usually let people go. Like, he wants more and more and more. So like he was saying, oh, here come those Medes and like conquering everything. They will not let us go back. They want us still to serve here. So he placed on his heart, I have to pray to God. I have to do something. I have to claim his promises. So when he heard that strange decree that nobody could pray to any god but the king, what did he do? He went back to his place and prayed that prayer. I could imagine that he would like open scripture, read it, and then he started that beautiful, beautiful prayer. Why? Because his concern was not his well-being. He was not even a little bit bothered by the office shenanigans. He couldn't care less if he get the prime minister position or not, or even if he go to the lion's den or not, because his concern was the well-being of God's people and the faithfulness of God's promises. If you open your Bible in chapter 9, you see what a beautiful prayer that is. Daniel was not a bit concerned with like riches and the well-being of the world. His only concern was with the kingdom of God. He could not care less about the empires of this world. So, what was the focus of his prayer? If you keep reading, read with me verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and made a confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome, God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who kept his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Do you see what he's doing here? He's calling God on his promises. He's saying, God, I know that you're faithful. We mess up. And here I felt like very profound thing to do, because remember, that was the guy that nobody could find fault on him. Not even a late credit card payment. And he apparently was faultless, but he put himself on the same shoes of the people that he was there to serve. He said, we mess up. We sin against you. And later on the prayer, he says like, you are righteous in whatever you do. And for us, the only thing is left is to blush on our faces of like to when you are caught doing something bad, you blush. That's what he's talking about. Like, for us, only shame. And he keeps going. Like, what seems not to be a careless prayer, because he lists the prayers of the sins of the people, his own sins, he confessed by his own things, the sins of the fathers, everything that happened before him. He put everything plain before God. And what he asks, he doesn't ask, God, help me with that situation back on work. God, help me with my whatever problem I have. Help me not to go to jail or not to get to the lion's den. That was not none of his concern. He says like, God, help us. Be faithful with your people. Deliver us. Send us back to Jerusalem. He was asking, if Daniel was here today, he would be asking, Lord, we are here for too long. Please come. Come again soon. Come through in your promises. You said you will not take long. Come. Give us your Holy Spirit. Give us what we need to live on those days we live today. We need the Holy Spirit to finish up the job, to be able to understand the Scripture. And most importantly, to be able to live the Scripture. To be able to be the Bible that those around us can read and can understand and can fall in love with Jesus and follow. That was Daniel's utmost desire. That's why lions could not stop it. And that's why he became a threat to Satan. Satan knows that if he can distract us to pray like that, with problems at work, with problems at our life, problems with money, problems with whatever, we will not be praying those prayers. We're going to be praying for, oh God, help me this, help me there, bail me here, bail me here. He gets us distracted. But if he cannot get you distracted, as he could not with Daniel, Daniel was praying that prayer, and he could not be stopped. So he shifted gears. If he cannot stop you, he's going to try to intimidate you. And Daniel could not be intimidated also. What did he do? What the Bible says, the moment he heard about that strange law, he went back to his room and prayed that prayer. What I'm trying to tell you today. God wants us to have a prayer life, but He wants us to make a good use of it. He wants to give what we need to live. But while our concerns and preoccupations are just the things of this world, our prayers will not serve the full power they are meant to have. Only when we put our own interests aside and we focus our prayer life in the will of God and the establishment of His kingdom, only when we cling to His promises so they can be a reality in our lives, is that we are achieving the fullest goal that a prayer can have. And you may ask, why do I need to pray for a promise of God to become reality? Remember, we live in a great controversy. And we had that 4 sermons over that. But I have to remind you, for some of you may be new here, so you didn't hear those other sermons. In that great controversy, there's things that God have the power to do, but He cannot morally take over our life and change our life unless we open the door. He cannot give you the Holy Spirit to change you, to make you grow to the fullness of what He wants you to be, if you don't open the door of your heart. That's why in the book of Revelation, on the letter to Laodicea, Jesus is depicted at the door. He says, I'm at the door and knock. He does not say, I'm gonna kick the door in and now I'm gonna make you holy. He's knocking. He's asking for you to, through prayer, to open the doors of your life, to be filled by the Holy Spirit so He can transform you. And with that fullness of the Spirit, then we'll have the power to finish the work. Then we're going to be hastening His coming. It means nothing if we just pray, oh God, Thy kingdom come, please come soon. If we don't pray as well as Daniel prayed, like confessing our sins, not only my sins, but the sins of the church. Because remember, we like to talk about the church. The church is this, the church is that, this church is so this. You are the church. I am the church. If you sin, I'm part of it. That's why I have to pray for one another. When I pray, make no mistake, I pray for each one of you. I confess my sins. I confess your sins also. And I hope you do the same for your pastor. The Lord is crying out for us to pray for one another. The Lord is crying out for us to stop being distracted by this foolishness here and to pray for the kingdom, pray for the promises that God made, the things that He wants to do in my life and in your life to become reality. And when we pray like that, the devil trembles. And make no mistake, once you start to pray like that, things are going to start to happen in your life. But don't worry. The same God that sent an angel to close the lion's mouth, He's going to be there with you. Satan cannot touch you. He can distract you or he can intimidate you. But at the end of the day, the decision is yours. The decision is ours. We have to decide, do I want to keep following God? Do I want to make Him the center of my life? Do I want to make Him the center of my prayer life and keep praying like Daniel and being transformed and opening my life to the Holy Spirit and hastening His second coming by my own testimony? Or do I need to be distracted with other things? That's my call. That's your call. And I want to finish that sermon today. I could go on and on and on. I could have chosen a different date to share this with you, but the Holy Spirit was impressing me to share today. So I hope that shorter version of it makes the point across. But I want to close the sermon today with a question that is an appeal. We learn today, when we are fulfilling God's dreams for us, when we fulfill what God wants, the devil is not happy. So, there's one very important takeaway that I want you to take away from today. Once you approach God, like, it's okay to ask God for the things you need. The things you need. If you look to the Matthew 6, I can't remember the verse. I think it's verse 7 or 8 that he says, like, the only thing Jesus asks, materially speaking, on that prayer is like, give us our daily bread. Meaning, if you want me to work for you, give me the bare minimums that I need to get by. All the rest is accessory. If we approach God like that, if we approach God with honesty, and by honesty I mean like who we are, and we are wicked, we need His forgiveness. If we approach Him with the focus on the right place, asking to be full of the Holy Spirit, that's an answer that He cannot say no. That's what He says many times on the Gospels. Like, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I grant it. So why don't we ask? God is inviting us today to live like that and to pray like that. My question to you today is, how are your prayers? Are they provoking any sort of reaction on the unseen? Do the demons flee or get concerned when each one of you bow before the Almighty and pray? Or your prayers are just that continuation of that litany of the same old? God wants us to change. And as we move to the second part of that service, the communion service, let's use that communion today as a divider of waters in our prayer life and in our spiritual life. Let's stop to focus on the things down here that are not important. Let's do as Paul counsels us in Colossians 3. Let's, if you want to treat, that says like, if you are born again in Christ, focus on the things up above where Christ is. And don't worry about the world around you. You are hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible is screaming for us to do, both on the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let's not waste all opportunity. And before I finish, I want to make a prayer for you. So God allows us to be real prayer warriors, to take Him by His promises, and to pray for Him to do the work He wants to do in us, opening the door of our hearts, so Satan can tremble, and we can glorify His name through our life. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we are so very sorry because we wasted so many days and years with the same litany of asking for things, asking you to be solving your problems, asking for so many things. We ask for your forgiveness for our wasted time. We ask for your forgiveness, dear Lord, because we have allowed, by our own lack of repentance, by our own lack of awareness of our own shortcomings, for allowing the enemy to use us to be stumbling blocks in the life of others. I could go on and on. You know our sins individually and corporative as a church. And I ask, dear Lord, please forgive us. And I approach you before your throne, asking in behalf of those before me, in behalf of those watching through the internet, help us to have a new start in our life. Help us to lift up our gaze from the things down here to the things up above. Help us to hear your call. You are calling us to hide ourselves in you. You are calling us to pray earnestly, valiantly, undeterred, to pray for your Holy Spirit on our lives. You are knocking the door of our hearts. Through prayer, let us open it. Please come and give us our personal outpouring of the Holy Spirit so we can live a life that gives honor and glory to you. We ask you, dear Lord, we want to go home. Please come soon. And in preparation for that, give us the Holy Spirit, both individually for us, each one of us, but also as a church. May our church have a revival. May we go on fire, moved not by human hands, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, dear Lord, to be transformed so our life be a testimony for those around us. And help us, like Daniel, not to be distracted nor intimidated by the shenanigans of the devil. And help us to be in harmony with you, always walking alongside our best friend Jesus. Bless us now. Give us your Holy Spirit. And bless each one of us in our prayer life and in our Christian walk. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.